Hello, everyone, and welcome to Straight Chilling. Each week, we watch and review a horror film for your entertainment. You can send all questions and comments to straightchillingpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to keep chilling.
Hey everybody, welcome to Straight Chillin'. My name is Bob, I'll be your host for the evening. This is episode 63, recorded June 8th, 2016, and we watched Event Horizon tonight. Before we get into the movie, let me go ahead and go around the table, introduce everyone else that's here. First up, Jack Araya, welcome to the cast.
Thank you.
How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, doing pretty great. It's my first time with the new setup.
The reboot.
Don't know how you guys listen through that theme without like rap doing a freestyle over it. Every bit of me wanted to bust out something stupid.
Maybe we'll start doing that. Let's just take
or
a turn.
Say something. I wanted to ham it up immediately through that opening.
The inner MC.
Yes.
Is coming out.
Yeah.
Can't keep it contained.
Yeah, I've touched that planet before.
Next up, Rickety Cricket.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the cast.
Thank you.
How are you doing tonight?
First timer? No, it's not true. It's a lot.
Long time listener, first time caller?
Doing all right, you know? It's freaking hot outside.
It is a million degrees. In Florida.
Hearing a lot of animals this time around. It's a unique experience.
There's a dog in the house.
And a cat.
Last but not least, Stains.
What up, buddy?
Welcome to the cast.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anything new to report, sir?
Nope. I have made a conscious decision, though. I think this summer, after two summers of straight creaming, I think I'm going to try everything on the menu at the Dreamette.
You're going to make a goal of it, huh?
A goal of it to run through.
If, like... every combination possible?
Well, it's like at least every flavor one time.
Yeah, okay.
Like your sex life. As soon as you get bored of it, you just gotta try everything.
You know, I gotta try it once.
Wait, like every ice cream flavor or every mix-in flavor combo? Well, there's like two flavors at Dream Inn.
Well, no,
it's like
I
chocolate
mean, like,
and vanilla.
The options are endless.
I usually get like either a Thin Mint shake or a Reese's shake. Tonight I got the raw cookie dough shake. So I'll go through
all the shakes,
go through the combinations, and maybe some of the cones. Well, cones are harder to maintain for the cast.
But you're going to stick with one mix-in, right? That's the rule?
Yeah. Go through them all.
So like Thin Mint in every way. Okay.
We'll see. I'll update you each week on...
If that's the case, we're probably going to need a weekly review of the Dream
segment. All right. It's always going to be good.
Screaming and creaming?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Long time coming.
We've been working our way there for years now.
Yeah, we've been making that joke for at least a year.
Really just trying to get our official sponsorship for free cream.
It'd be all worth it if we got free ice cream out of this.
I can't wait to hear your reviews. This one tasted like peanut butter cup. Next week, this one tasted like chocolate chip cookie dough.
The Thin Mint one tasted a lot like Thin Mints and ice cream.
Maybe like Junior Mints. They're lying.
They're probably the knockoff Thin Mints. There's no way it's the Scout brand.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That. How would they keep them stocked?
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to plan so far out. That or they got it on lock. The Scouts are right up the street.
It's true.
Anyways, let's go ahead and get into our What You've Been Watching segment.
Hey, gang, what you been watching?
Ooh, DJ Elzebub.
In the house. Well, Jack Araya, why don't you kick us off? What you been watching, sir?
I have taken a dive into Mr. Robot. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Is it?
It is. Good. It's pretty freaking great. It's on USA, so who the hell... you know,
yeah,
can watch that on the reg, but it's pretty awesome. It's about, like, you know, a brilliant hacker, and they kind of Dexter it, where he talks to you, being himself, because he's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's a cool insight. I really like getting inside the character's head, especially because he's this brilliant hacker that, like, can't associate with people.
Mm-hmm.
He just does computers, kind of. So it's pretty awesome. I think I'm in the middle of, like, a mid-season twist or something, because last time I watched it, shit just flipped upside down.
Yeah.
Which is kind of awesome. Like, Lost is one of my favorite shows, so I'm digging it. That's what I'm watching.
Cool.
That's what I'm watching.
I really like that actor. He was in the Pacific, and he, like, really stood out to me as, like, an intriguing character in that. And when I saw the previews for that, I was like, oh, shit.
Like I said, the character is very Dexter in that he's crazy, you know, ish. Mm-hmm. And according to you, he's always talking to himself, so it's pretty cool. He kills it.
Well, right on. Rickety, what have you been watching?
Just past week, I actually watched Ant-Man for the first time completely sober. And it was fantastic. I had completely forgotten, I can't remember his sidekick's name, the Hispanic dude.
Oh, yeah.
I love that freaking character. I was laughing my ass off. For some reason, he just didn't ring true when I was intoxicated. But when I was sober, I thought it was great. So, that was pretty much it. Hadn't had a whole lot of watching time. But Ant-Man was awesome. Surprise.
Ant-Man is fantastic. It's a solid character in the Civil War movie, too. Staines, what have you been watching?
Well, this week I was treated to a special screening of The Conjuring 2.
Tell me more.
Well, you were there, and Jack Ryan was there.
I was there.
And it was good. I'll save it for a later cast, but it was really enjoyed it. Me and Jack Ryan sat next to one another and had some jump out of our seat.
I had the biggest and worst at the beginning for sure. That kind of that huge jump made me a little more self-aware for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So that it didn't really happen again.
Yeah.
But
I
screamed audibly.
It got us. And then we just busted.
It was still a man scream, but it was a full-blown scream. I think I may have cursed.
Oh, God. So, yeah, good movie. And we got to see it almost a week early, so that was nice.
James Wan does no wrong.
Yeah,
still.
Hey, we did the same crew did the other Conjuring and almost every other James Wan.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except I wasn't there this
for
time.
For the Conjuring?
This wasn't the same crew because it was sans me.
I'm talking casting guy.
Fuck you.
I need to be offended because I missed out.
We can
on purpose.
Yeah, we can get into the Conjuring 2 next week. As far as what I've been watching, I watched the pilot episode of Outcast, which is a show. It's on Cinemax. It's based off a comic book that Robert Kirkman wrote, who also created The Walking Dead. So this is his newest show. But the pilot, if you don't have Cinemax anyways, the pilot's on YouTube. It's about an hour long, so you can watch it on there for free. And I don't think it's actually aired on Cinemax yet. I think it shows up in like a week or two. But the pilot episode is directed by Adam Wingard. He directed Your Next and The Guest and the upcoming The Woods movie, which looks really cool.
Yeah.
But it's great. If you never read the book, you're not going to be missing out on anything if you haven't. I think it's only a couple volumes in. The book really hasn't been out for very long. But the show follows the pilot episode follows the books almost word for word, which is impressive. But it's directed well, it's acted well, it's pretty creepy. Basically about the story of this kid who grows up in a small town, and he's got a really messed up childhood, and it seems like everyone that he cares about ends up getting possessed by something. And later on in life, he's just a shut-in, and he runs into a preacher that helped him out earlier when he was dealing with all of these possessions, and they kind of team up, and it seems like they're going to be battling some demons of some sort. So definitely recommend checking that out, Outcast.
So it's basically Buffy.
I've never watched Buffy. I don't know.
Ooh, doesn't hold up too well.
Yeah.
But also, did you say it's on HBO Go?
No, it's a Cinemax show, but the pilot episode is on YouTube. You can watch it.
It's also on HBO Go.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on HBO Go.
I was super surprised because it said, like, you know, Cinemax, yeah, like, presents or whatever. And you could watch that shit on HBO Go.
Well, at least the first episode is. If they put it on YouTube, they probably wouldn't mind putting it on HBO Go.
That's
HBO-ga.
A non-HBO show. Well, let's go ahead and hit the synopsis for whatever the fuck we watch tonight.
Event Horizon.
What's on the back of the box?
Rickety, what's on the back of the box?
Read us some shit.
The movie we watched, sorry, film, we screened tonight. The joke is you always screen horror movies and they're called films.
Yes. Horror films.
Only horror Anywho, movies are called
the movie we screened this evening.
Allow me to look down my nose.
You don't watch them, you screen them.
The movie we screened was Event Horizon. I'll read you the synopsis off Wikipedia. It's pretty solid, rather than me fumbling through it. When the Event Horizon, a spaceship that had vanished years earlier, suddenly reappears, a team dispatched to investigate the ship. Accompanied by Event Horizon's creator, William Weir, which is Sam Neill, also Jurassic Park. The crew of the Lewis and Clark, led by Captain Miller, played by Lawrence Fishburne, begins to explore the seemingly abandoned vessel. However, it soon becomes evident that something sinister resides in its corridors, and that the horrors that befell the... The horrors that befell the Event Horizon previous journey are still present. So they basically go after on a rescue mission on a ship that turns out developed the warp drive and went somewhere in between spaces. I don't know.
Not of this world or universe, apparently.
Right. And they kind of... You go with them on the journey as they discover it, and shit goes downhill.
Where has the ship gone? And has it brought something sinister back?
Mm-hmm. Are these all taglines, or are we bullshitting?
Just bullshitting. But it should be
taglines. It kind of looked like you were reading it. I thought you might have been reading some
always
old IMDb
bullshitting.
1997 taglines.
Nope. Reading the waveforms, my dog. So, Rickety, this was your pick this week.
Yes.
And you... When did you first see this movie? You said you kind of grew up on it, and it was sort of an introduction to horror?
Yeah, I watched this movie. We had, like, you know, Cinemax and HBO when we were younger. For the kids out there, you had to subscribe to these movie channels back in the day. Anywho, I guess it was probably fresh at the time. I'm guessing 98 because the movie came out in 97. But, yeah, one morning when I was a child... I got up to watch TV, and I threw on, you know, turned it on. My parents were probably watching HBO the night before, and I saw, you know, spaceships and Sam Neill from Jurassic Park, and I at least recognized him and thought it would be great. And it turned out to be a movie about a spaceship that goes through hell, and you see it. And it freaked me out. In fact, I was like... You know, like, back in the days of Blockbuster, you'd pass down the aisles and you'd see the movie cover? Like,
absolutely.
Like, every time I'd see it, I'd, like, look away. Because I was like, oh, shit.
That's kind of how I remember
fucking
it.
Hell ship.
Your introduction. You, yeah. Like, I saw that shit. It's, like, this, like, the goriest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I had never seen it until, I think, college. We started hanging out and watching movies, and you showed it to me, and it's pretty messed up. Even if you don't watch it as a kid, it's jarring. It's kind of like, I think a good way to describe it is like Hellraiser in space, some of the imagery that's going on. So if you dig that, you'll probably dig this. And Sam Neill is like a loose cannon. He's really good at being out of his damn mind. Like in The Mouth of Madness, which we did an episode on. He's kind of insane.
He does almost the exact same, like, unravel too.
Yeah. I'll go over it more in my review, but this movie hits on a lot of points for me. I just freaking dig it, along with the nostalgia factor that this was like pop my horror cherry, you know. It's like, I just remember the first time I watched a movie and I was like really fucking scared, you know.
It was cool too, like, I've seen this movie a bunch of times, but anytime we ever had to bring like that scary back pocket movie to the table, we're always like, that one will fuck you up.
You're acing the
like, hole. Dude, I watched that movie. I'll come back. Dude, I watched that movie. Fuck me up.
If you hear any clicking, it's because we've got a professional photographer on site here at Straight Chilling Headquarters, just snippety snapping away.
Capture the magic.
I could hear it. I'm pretty sure I could hear it in my mic. That's why I shut the hell up. I was like, it's the shutter's turn.
Yes, we're gonna get some billboards all up and down I-95 with our big dumb faces on them.
Right behind Eddie Farah, just fucking hero chin.
You can call me Rob.
I don't want to get sued over here, boy.
Justin, did you see this movie when you were a kid at all?
I don't think so. I don't think I saw it until we saw it maybe a few years ago, honestly. And since then, we were talking, I think we've watched it at least like once a year since I reached out. Maybe like 4 years in a row.
Yeah,
I think that was the first time, though. The first time I saw it, mine of this was like Sphere. I saw Sphere like as a kid, and I was like, oh, that reminds me a lot of Sphere. This is much better, by the way. Since we watched Sphere like last year and cast it, I was like, oh, God. And Event Horizon was like so much better than this. But no, I hadn't seen this until recently.
Cool. Well, let's get a little bit deeper into it and spoil the shit out of this thing. I'll go ahead and drop the...
Spoiler warning.
Oh, yeah. We fucking recommend this thing. Watch it. So now, let's spoil the shit out of it. So basically, you come to find out this ship was gone for 7 years. Nobody knew where it went. It basically opened up a portal to hell, and it came back with everybody myrtleized on it. And the ship is alive. It can somehow or another tap into your worst fears and exploit them, take advantage of you, makes you do its bidding, and it does that to Sam Neill, basically, and he decides that he doesn't want anybody to leave and starts murdering folk. Yeah. So, basically, hell ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riggedy cricket.
Just nailed it.
I mean, it goes through hell, essentially, and it is possessed. It kind of seduces Sam Neill. I mean, you can kind of tell he's, like, all about it because he made it. It's almost like, you know, like a child or something to him. He's just, like, already super stoked on it, more than the average person. And then it gets kind of worse as the movie goes along because it kind of starts to take him, and it kind of uses his... like the story of his wife committing suicide to kind of, you know, lure him in. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of religious symbolism that we kind of pointed out while we were watching. It's shaped like a cross for starters. I mean, I do like the contradiction of the science and religion kind of deal. Like, none of them could really believe it until they started seeing some shit. You know, like, it just, hell or religion or whatever doesn't belong in space. You know, at least on screen it looks strange, or at least that you could have a warp drive and hell exist in the same, you know. I just dig it, you know, especially if I like my sci-fi stuff. So this brings the horror with it in a big way, especially the captain's log.
Yes.
The infamous captain's log scene.
In the trivia, they call it the blood orgy.
Appropriate.
Absolutely.
There are people
like.
Bent over things. I didn't notice that very well. It's hard to watch as many times as you've seen it, but I did notice that this time, that they're like, you know, it's pretty rough.
Yeah. There is a specific scene showing what happened to the previous crew, and it's just a blood orgy. It's a chaotic dismembering of themselves.
A lot of eyeballs being ripped out.
Yeah, and man, one guy's like ripping his like guts out through his own like mouth.
Like, it looks like.
Yeah.
They're like dismembering themselves.
Yeah.
And it's pretty like terrible. Blood orging.
Yeah. And then like.
I guess is, yeah.
Tearing their faces apart and.
It's rough.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's not. It's like a back and forth type of thing. It's not like 10 straight minutes of people dismembering themselves. Yeah. It's like the it's new crew
yeah,
reacting.
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
What like the found fuck? Footagey flashes.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's pretty quick.
The eyeball guy reminds me of the dude from Pan's Labyrinth. Because this guy that rips out his own eyeballs and holds them in both hands and then looks at the camera and speaks in Latin. Yeah. That guy always reminds me of the dude with the eyeballs in his hands in Pan's Labyrinth, who I think is an angel in that, actually.
He reminds me of the guy from that VHS 2 skit who's all, like, cut up. Like, the cult guy who, like, he puts his hands out like that and then he explodes. But he's also all cut up. That's what it reminds me of.
I thought you were going to say the segment where the dude has the eyeball with the chip implanted in it.
Oh, no.
You can, like, see ghosties. Yeah. There's a lot of eyeball horror in this movie.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to keep their eyes where they belong.
Actually, the first illusion I think Sam Neill has before, if I'm not mistaken, before he gets cryo-frozen on their way there.
Yeah.
And it's his dead wife... with the eyeballs, right? It's like a
with
dream
no
or something.
Eyes,
yeah, he wakes up from a dream, mm-hmm. and that's it. My theory about that is she committed suicide, which he relives because of the ship, and I think she's in hell, Catholic-wise, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's, like, that connection, and the ship obviously uses that, like, pull, that character to pull him in. But
cool.
I theorize that's his biggest, maybe his Catholic... fear is that she's in hell because she committed her suicide. Because she's the only character that like reaches out sort of before they even get there. Mm-hmm. As soon as they get there, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
But as the prelude or whatever.
So there was a character that just wouldn't quit, went by the name of Justin.
The true survivor.
Yes, he was representing for all of your kind, all Justins across
Justins
the world.
All Justins of the world. I appreciate. At first, we assumed... he was the first death, but in the end, we realized he was the third best of all.
Slept through half the movie.
Yes.
Yes. And the almost... Justins, the clan connected only by a decision their parents probably made.
Surviving for the movie, though. He almost died twice, or maybe three times. A lot of times. More than anybody else did he almost die. But
he was in the top three at the end, I guess.
Yeah, top three. Top three.
Which is pretty good.
Either way, he had a shitty run.
He had a rough run.
He doesn't get the silver, the gold.
He's still standing up there.
He's, you know.
But he also doesn't get best death.
He's looking for a bronze.
So he actually, the like warp drive that creates this black hole that you can go through apparently space and time, it can open a portal on the ship, and Justin is the only one that ever passes through it. And you don't see what's on the other side, but essentially it's hell. And he comes back, and he just decides that he doesn't want to live anymore after what he's seen, and he ejects himself from the ship. He goes into one of these airlock situations and hits the open button, and then there's a 30-second delay, and before it opens, he decides, oh, wait, I do want to live. So Lawrence Fishburne's character kind of hops outside of the spaceship in his spacesuit and, like, saves him, but before he can do so, his eyeballs pop and blood's flowing out of it, and it's really gruesome.
Igor.
Yeah, a lot of Igor.
Yeah, a lot of Igor.
Bunch. Igor.
Yeah.
Anyways. Some fucked up shit.
Yeah, he kind of snaps out of it. That's kind of like the creepiest part, is clearly he wasn't really in control, and then he gets in there and pushes the button, and the ship screams at him, and he kind of snaps out of it. He's like, I don't want to die. That shit always freaked me out. Ever since the first time I watched it, just because it's Hal Ribot.
Sam Neill in this movie does a lot of hollering before he gets like totally possessed by the ship. It's unnecessarily comedic.
The directing doesn't help, especially the first time, because he sees his like dead wife and immediately cuts to a It's kind of jarring.
It's the high note. Clickety clack. So at the very end, Justin's a survivor. Lawrence Fishburne, who's the captain, I forget his.
He dies.
Oh, who made it?
Mama Bear. Right?
Mama Bear.
No,
yeah.
She died. No, she fell through the
rescue
hole.
Tech. The black.
Okay. The other girl.
The blonde British chick who.
Was gone like 101 half the
Dalmatians
movie.
Yeah, it's not really like a what?
She's from the 101 Dalmatians movie.
Apparently.
Factually.
Okay. Congratulations.
That's like the only thing I've seen her.
Fact
in,
has been checked.
I guess she can't do any more accents.
Yeah, she hardly did anything in the movie. Yeah.
She's attractive. She did that.
And then the third guy that survived was just like a tech or something.
Yeah, he was just the rescue tech, and then he was also like working on the ship.
The big black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, called the rescue tech, but his main role was patching up the ship.
Yeah. He was like, the Coast Guard or something on the ship.
Yeah, so they end up, the way the ship is set up is the ass end of it has the warp drive that's all, spooky and takes you to hell, and then there's a long ass hallway that connects you to the front of the ship, which is where the cockpit is, and they actually can pilot it and stuff. So they blow the long hallway, and then the warp drive goes to hell, and then they put themselves in stasis in the head of the ship and hit a distress signal, and eventually a ship comes by to investigate the signal and saves them. So those are the three that live. Bam. The end. Roll credits to Prodigy. Funky shit.
Ooh. As the caption so described.
Yes, it did.
Oh, Prodigy. Throwback.
The 90s.
Rave music. Also seen in Mortal Kombat. Another great
snap your picture.
Film I'm sure we'll be casting later.
Bam.
And I think Charlie's Angels, too, maybe.
Full throttle?
I'll have to go back and view that one. Check the
Prodigy.
How
do you know the, filmography of a song?
I don't know. But
all the films, this terrible
off
song.
The top here's
a lot of weight, apparently.
Of funky shit. you guys want to go around and give our ratings and personal recommendations real quick?
Sure.
Right on. Jackariah, you want to kick us off?
Let's see. Do you guys start with your rating?
You can.
I give this 5 stars, easy, hands down. This is one of the first horror movies I've seen, and it's one of the few that has not completely devalued over the many times I've seen it. I value production value. That's why I struggle sometimes with a lot of the deeper horror flicks, the B horror flicks, because I really like a little bit of, I don't know, the more believable, the better. And with sci-fi, you really can't do it justice without some production value. So I loved the kind of the world, too. It's the spaceships are not crisp and clean and shiny. They're kind of shitty. They're kind of old. Space travel is not a big deal anymore. But it's still a big deal that you can create a wormhole or whatever. So I kind of like the spacey stuff in this. And of course, the layover, the horror movie, really timeline. It follows most horror movie tropes pretty clear, a spaced out deaths. And they're all pretty gruesome. And it kind of leads to the climactic reveal where you figure out what the issue is and how to solve it. And then they solve it. And some of them get away. I love that series, and all the deaths are horrifying and fun. You don't have to lock into this movie to get it. You can kind of talk your way through it, but there's enough there that you could watch it by yourself. So I've never not liked this movie, and I've never really been a horror fan without seeing it. So it's hard to kind of compare it and contrast it, but I love it. I'd tell anybody to watch it that was a horror fan for sure. We're going to give it 5 stars.
Right on, man. Rickety Cricket, what do you think?
I'm going to give it 4.5 stars. I do love this movie. I don't think it's perfect. It's got a bit more of that gore horror, and I'm just not, it's not my favorite, you know, brand, I guess. They do it well, like Jack was saying. They have great production value. I love the sci-fi aspect of this. You could slide this movie into any, like, sci-fi universe, like, I don't know, Stargate or Star Trek or probably not Star Wars. But anyway, you could slide it into any futuristic timeline and it would work. I mean, it could have happened early in any of those universes, and it's just pretty straightforward. It's the sets are pretty convincing, and I thought it was a great twist. I mean, like, the warp drive stuff is common throughout a lot of, you know, sci-fi universes, and it's just a great kind of horror twist on that concept, because we buy it so much in our, you know, fiction. But this is like, well, what the fuck, what if we tried it and it really sucked? So the whole, like, ship is alive thing, I never loved that. It being possessed and yada yada. It was just brought a little bit of the cheese factor to it, and a little ambiguity. I just kind of like my twist a bit more straightforward. But and the cast worked out real well. I loved it. Definitely recommend. 4.5 stars. Not for children. I know from experience.
A few of these films are.
Yes, most of them are rated R.
Justin, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a 4-star. And I'm trying to think about what to add. But I like this movie. It's got, as a horror movie, it's got some really cool kills. I think part of one of the reason, like, one of the things that kind of takes me out is, like, a little bit of, like, the overall, I guess, design and aesthetic. The room where, like, the gate is makes no goddamn sense.
I totally agree.
It makes no goddamn sense. It's covered in, like, these gothic spikes, essentially. And I have a little bit of trivia on it, but it makes no sense.
It's not very science-y for the science room.
Yeah, and especially some of the aesthetic that they show, like, on the other parts of the ship where he's... It almost looks... It reminds me of, like, the ships in... The Matrix, where they're, like, super old and grimy looking, yeah, and stuff. And this just, like, it doesn't look like anything I've ever seen in any kind of sci-fi or space thing. It just doesn't really fit. But, I mean, that doesn't, like, take a whole star away. But there's just, like, little things, I guess. But overall, I mean, there's nothing, like, that really just bugs me too much about this movie. I just don't think it's perfect either. But it holds up really well. Like, really great kills. The acting is for the most part, solid, except some of the crazy whales that go on and stuff like that, but really cool idea and executed really well, so I have a strong recommend for it.
Awesome, man. I'm gonna give it a 3.5 stars. It does have that 90s feel, that 90s horror feel to it, and I know the 90s as far as horror movies go gets a really bad rap. I think there's some good stuff in there though, and I think this is one of them. This is definitely a 90s horror movie that I would recommend. But you know, like everybody has pretty much said, it's not a perfect movie, but I really like the idea of hell in space. That's kind of what sells me on it the most. I'm not a huge fan of Hellraiser. I don't really like really like violent gore. Like, I like cheesy gore, like 80s gore, like funny gore usually, but like people ripping their eyeballs out, I mean, it's effective as hell. It really is. For what they're trying to do, I think they do a pretty good job with
it's like torture gore.
Yeah definitely. Speaking of eyeballs, the Hostel movie has like a really messed up eyeball scene in it. I'm all on the eyeballs, man. Really sensitive eyeballs.
They drive it in for sure. Yeah.
This is not that bad though. Like, this is not as bad as this is no Saw or anything.
It's no Hostel for sure.
It's dated. Yeah.
I prefer this to Hostel for sure.
Yeah.
Just the eyeball thing got me. I don't like shit around my eyes at all. But anyway, yeah, there's some goofy moments with some of the acting. Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne have a couple weird moments in there, but it's not, it definitely doesn't ruin the movie or anything like that. The idea is great. It's fun watching Sam Neill get crazy. Those are definitely the selling points. I think on a rewatch, it didn't hold up quite as well. I guess the initial shock value of, you know, the blood orgy and everything like that had worn off, because I knew it was coming, obviously. But definitely a solid 90s movie. I definitely recommend it. It's worth watching. There's not a whole lot like it that I can think of other than Hellraiser, but Hellraiser in space, you know? Give it a watch.
Yeah, it's kind of a completely original concept. Like the idea of bending space-time and creating wormholes, that's kind of OG sci-fi. I think that's even in Trek, if I'm not mistaken. But the idea of hell being in between there, it's almost like as far as they could push science, which was into like warp drives and bending space-time, they couldn't predict that there's a hell or where it is and that it exists. That never occurred to them. They can make a warp drive, they can make a black hole, but they never did the math to think that hell might also exist. It's that religion versus science thing. And at the end, they get a little bit, the ship can feel, the ship is alive. And I wish they would have just stuck with the science part of that. Like, maybe part of hell's atmosphere is in here and it came back with it. And that's why shit's going crazy, because there's like hell in the ship.
Yeah.
Or something a little more legit than it knows my secrets and dreams. Like, maybe demons are fucking with you. Something
I would have liked that better.
Something a little more in the lines than what we got is kind of what I see every time I rewatch it. I kind of see the fun stuff, the nostalgic stuff, and the gore is still on par, so it's always shocking, but I always see kind of like what I want it, wish it was, kind of improve it in my mind. Which is that?
Well,
like a remake. This needs a remake.
It'll probably happen.
It's got the recipe. It was made in the 90s. It did okay.
But it could have been an episodic story in any cheesy sci-fi series like Stargate frickin' Atlantis or something. I mean, spaceship through hell because of that interdimensional stuff. It's great.
And that's what I mean. Like, it could have been like a, you know, an early story in the Aliens timeline. Why? There'd be no point because there's no aliens, but, you know, it kind of slides into every sci-fi universe.
Maybe that's where the aliens come from. They come from hell. That would be kind of cool.
There you go.
Maybe.
In the sequel, the ship comes back and unleashes a bunch of demons, and the Ghostbusters got to catch on.
The women. Turns into a comedy. Ghostbusters, of course. We're building a universe here.
Yes.
You know.
That's just true. Because we're all men doesn't mean we're all misogynists, okay?
Of course.
Kristen Wiig is awesome, for the record. So our
mini dog is a female
scooting around. Our aggregate for this is a 4.25, which seems pretty accurate. So 4.25 out of 5, definitely recommend a watch. Let's go ahead and get into our Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Go for it.
Certified fresh to death.
So we're going to go around the table and all have a stab at guessing what the critic score is for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes, and then we're going to do the users next.
All right. Go for it. Let me get my password right on my phone, but
I'll do it.
Yeah, Rickety,
I remember
pulled it
the
up.
Score.
Rickety.
I'll do it.
Wait, do you have it, Jack?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, no.
I guess we never settled on who was doing it.
Well,
do we all know it?
Half of us do.
Well, all right. Okay.
Who
guess
knows
you two
it?
Do.
Raise your hand. Half of us.
Okay. Well, Justin and I will be guessing.
Head to head.
Justin, user score, what do you think?
User score? 65.
Ooh. I'm going to go 75 on it.
Boys,
it's James, I think. 61, right?
Yeah.
61.
61 is the answer.
Woo. All right.
Jeez, got it.
We're going to do the critic score
as
well? Yeah, sure. Take a stab. You have to say that from now on when you guess. You take, like, a stab. Take a stab.
60%?
Yeah. I'm going to go 50.
It's 24.
Whoa!
Mind you, man. Again, having done a bunch of these previously, that an older movie does not critically test very, like, with good data, so to speak. There's not a lot of reviews.
Sure.
I haven't looked at it, but typically, there you go, 55 critic reviews. Yeah. So there's, like,
I gotcha.
Very few.
Hmm. Yeah.
Split down the middle. Good job, Bob.
Of course, horror movies tend to get a shitty rap when it comes to critics anyways. Or at least a less fair rap. I don't know if shitty is fair. But anyways, Justin, did you find any trivia on this?
Yeah, there's actually some cool trivia on this.
Yeah, it doesn't even have a synopsis or a, you know,
consensus. Yeah, critics' consensus.
Oh, okay.
Sons of bitches.
Which means no one got here and wrote anything, and they just republished reviews.
Let's hear what trivia we got on this.
It's totally time for trivia.
Trivia for Event Horizon. One of the cool ones I found was that the recent movie Interstellar, which has been praised for, like, being very scientifically accurate and everything, does the exact same explanation of the time warp thing that they do for this movie. So
nice.
Yeah, so it's pretty much you have a page, and they're saying, like, okay, well, he makes a hole, we're down here, and then at the top of the page they make another hole, and then he's like, this, in order to get, you fold it, and they become, like, the same point, essentially, folding space, and then that's how they travel. So that was pretty cool that back in the 90s they were doing their research, apparently, about potential space travel for...
Time is a flat circle.
For horror.
Is that...
Sci-fi.
Is that how he did it?
Yes.
On the True Detective.
It's McConaughey is always McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Some Lincoln commercials. The road will take you wherever the road goes.
I don't know where I'm going, but the road does.
Apparently, on everybody's spacesuit, they have individual spacesuits, and each person has, like, a futuristic flag on their spacesuit from where they're from. So, like, the Americans have a United States flag that has 55 stars, which, like, how the fuck would you see that? But it does.
Texas
apparently
broke into five.
Yep. And the British flag is replaced by a flag with 22 stars. I don't know how many they have now. And then there's a modified Australian flag for Sam Neill's character with the Union Jack removed from the top left-hand corner and the Aboriginal flag in place. So I guess the British flag
is removed. He is Australian, I think.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting detail that
the
they included.
Aborigines rise up.
Also, the model of the Event Horizon includes a complete X-Wing from Star Wars as part of an antenna array. The model is visible on the lower portion of the Event Horizon during the first flyby that they do.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And the original design for the gate room that we were bitching about earlier was supposed to be smooth and, like, detailless. Mm-hmm. Like, it was supposed to be, like, very sleek. But as a tribute to Hellraiser, which we've kind of been mentioning, they designed it the way they did, kind of with the rings. Like, it didn't even have the rings. They wanted to mimic, like, the puzzle box of Hellraiser with the rings. And then, like, the intricate designs is, like, what's on the puzzle box in Hellraiser. And I guess the spikes and stuff, too. So it was all kind of a Hellraiser nod, which took away, in my opinion. But still kind of cool.
Yeah.
And one of my personal ones is there was an X-Men animated show. And in one of the episodes, it had to be paying tribute to this movie because there's a character called Nightcrawler and he teleports in between places. And in one episode, they figure out where he's going when he teleports, like, in between when he arrives somewhere. And it is hell. It is a dimension of hell. So they, like, figure out a way to slow down his, like, teleportation. So in between, he's just, like, in this demon realm, and it's, like, pretty horrifying, and I was like, oh shit, that's this
that's
movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a personal trivia for you right there.
I watched a little bit of that show when I was a kid, but I never really got into it. I was more of a Spider-Man, Batman kid.
Yeah. We definitely got into it. I don't remember that episode, but I have read Marvel Comics where there's like a demon character from hell.
Yeah.
I know it's part of the lore.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Looking back now, because I just like stood out to me as a kid, and I had never seen this.
Yeah.
And then when we watched it, I was like, oh shit, that episode where Nightcrawler is in hell when he teleports. So that's pretty cool. So it's kind of like the known interdimensional realm is just hell, apparently. So let's see. That's pretty much all the interesting trivia I have.
I think the flatline hold a whole thing. I'm going through like a Reddit feed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes from A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the book. Hmm. I think that's the idea because they do mention who else does it. They think that there's, you know, an episode of, I think, Stargate where they do it. And there's another one, too.
Cool.
But, yeah, I think that's actually where that comes from. But somebody has the idea of here putting like a, you know, montage of them together.
Cool. Somebody on the science team and the writing staff had a good college professor, probably.
Yeah.
There's originally this was 30 minutes longer, and I don't know if there's been an uncut version released since it came out, but apparently it was like much, much, much bloodier. Like the blood orgy scene was longer and more detailed.
Boy.
The suicide scene was like longer and more detailed. Pretty much every scene like we saw was just worse. There's another Justin scene, I think.
Yeah, man.
He almost dies.
They decided
again.
Justin
just
had
enough.
He's getting it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch that, but I also kind of don't.
I'm curious for
I
sure.
Am
yeah.
curious.
The test, like they test it with audiences, and they're just like, no, you can't. So they had to cut it by like 30 minutes. Most of it just straight gore.
Just couldn't handle it.
30 minutes of extra gore is a
30
lot.
Minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that takes care of trivia. Let's go ahead and get into some news.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Woo. Look alive. DJ Elzebub coming at you on the ones and twos there.
What?
You know, DJ Elzebub sitting right next to us.
Oh. I'm sorry, I don't know this cat.
Running sound.
Yep, as always. So the first thing that I came across this week was the new incarnation of Stephen King's It. They finally cast their Pennywise.
Yeah.
It's Bill Skarsgård. I don't really know who this dude is.
Oh, Skarsgård, yeah.
But I guess he was in Hemlock Grove, and he was also in Allegiant of the Divergent series. I've not seen any of this, so I've
brother,
no real opinion.
Yeah.
Brother of the new Tarzan, he was also in True Blood, and also they are both sons of the Doctor and Thor with the crazy he was also the bad guy in Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
That's
and Thor is like Natalie Portman's like boss-ish or whatever.
Never saw it.
He's in, I think,
all related
of those Marvel movies.
But yeah, that kid's in Hemlock Grove.
He's
I've
in
seen it.
Thor
it's...
Avengers and I think Avengers 2.
Rob, you have never seen Thor?
No, I've never seen any Thor movies.
Wow.
Yeah, I apologize.
That's weird, I guess.
So, do you... I mean, you guys have seen some of what he's done. Do you think he'd make a decent Pennywise?
He was pretty good in Dragon Tattoo. I mean, being like a...
No, it's that dude's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
he's
gotcha.
Like... He looks like a teenager. I've seen him in Hemlock Grove off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, he's kind of... I don't know, this like tortured soul from a bad family. He's this rich, spoiled kid. He's kind of shitty. It's, you know, I don't know. I can't really tell, you know, if he was the last guy they casted before they had to, you know, redo it or whatever. I wasn't sure if he was going to be a good Pennywise either. I only picture
Tim Curry.
That's
absolutely.
It. So like, I can't really.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to top.
I think it's one of those things they make their own, and maybe you just trust the screen test or whatever they saw.
Yeah.
Because God knows what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I think he's got a great face for it. He's got a really creepy, kind of eerie face. But as far as his acting abilities, you know, we'll see. Maybe he'll kill it. I don't know.
I think he is expressive. I remember his voice being real, like, I don't know, monotone. I think he's hiding an accent, too.
I know they kind of went back and forth on this. They had Fukunaga, the guy who did True Detective Season 1, was supposed to direct the new It movie.
Yes.
And then he dropped out because I think it was some sort of like budget issue. He wanted to make two movies, and then they told him they didn't have the budget for it. So they went to one, and then now they're back to two again. So they're going to make two movies.
Wow.
But Fukunaga's not going to direct it. The guy who directed Mama, which I have also not seen, is going to direct it. I don't know. Have you guys seen Mama?
No.
It's like his only credit.
I think that's a Del Toro linked film, produced or something. So I've always meant to see it. The visuals look really cool. The story sounds kind of thin, but I think it started as like a short or
a scary fucking short. Or it sticks with you and you're like, what the fuck?
So I don't have a huge amount of faith in a short being extended into a full length movie. I think sometimes what's a short is most effective as a short.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't have a lot of faith in it. I don't remember it getting great reviews, but interested. Especially now. Because the wounds have not healed from that, from what was going to happen.
Yeah. It was lining up.
Yeah.
It was.
Big fan of the original. It.
Tim Curry. Bring him back.
Mm.
Anyways. The next thing I came across... not necessarily horror, but I know we all dig the shit out of this. John Boyega was cast in Pacific Rim 2.
We're doing Pac Rim. Del Toro Hour.
Yes.
We're doing a Del Toro Hour.
So Idris Elba was a big character in the first Pacific Rim, and then John Boyega got cast as his son. We don't really know like what he's going to be doing in the movie.
Yeah.
But
cool.
It's not going to be Del Toro directed. It's Del Toro produced in the
another fresh wound.
I think the showrunner for Daredevil is going to direct it. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
I don't know his name.
Okay.
But Daredevil's great.
Drew Goddard, something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Right? I don't know.
Just popping that off.
Sure. I'll maybe. Go with that.
Just copy Del Toro. That's all he needs to know.
Yeah, seriously.
Is Ron Perlman going to be involved?
I hope so.
The character is still alive.
Yeah.
You know
I just
that.
Didn't know if he's confirmed coming back.
I had seen Pacific Rim like 5 times or something, and I never watched the post-credit scene where it shows his character is still alive. Yeah, until like, you know, the 5th time I saw it, I was like, holy shit, he's still alive. What, Hannibal Chow is this character's name?
Yeah, I saw it in the theaters by myself, and somebody was like leaned over and saw me, some nerd, Del Toro nerd, by myself, and all he said was, there's an after credits, like that's it, and like it was just me, him, and a couple other nerds in the back, and everybody else left.
Excuse me, stranger.
It's not an obvious
Don't
one.
Leave.
Yeah.
I was really excited to find that out because his character rules.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully so. We don't really know what this movie is, but John Boyega is a plus. He was in Attack the Block and of course Star Wars: Force Awakens. Kid rules.
Yeah. So it's definitely
power.
A plus.
Yeah.
Some personality the first one was lacking a little bit.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's a good point. A little more character in the lead.
What's his face?
Yeah, Charlie
from what?
Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know his name.
Charlie's
not a good actor.
He's so flat.
I'm surprised he gets as much work as he does.
He's a handsome fellow.
Yeah, I guess so.
But he's fucking flat.
Yeah.
He's like a young Pitt, but he's definitely not as expressive.
No,
Brad Pitt.
No, absolutely not.
He's like a Channing Tatum without the charm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's apt. Channing Tatum's gotten better in the acting department, but...
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're looking forward to that. The last thing I've got... I'm kind of interested if any of you guys care... but they're the Universal Monster movies that they're bringing back, the Universal Universe that they're creating. They had a casting announcement. Johnny Depp is going to be playing the Invisible Man.
Oh yeah,
in the franchise.
I knew about
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise and the Mummy.
Russ, yeah. What's the other guy? The Australian guy.
Oh, I don't know. I guess.
Damn it! Gladiator's going to be in the Mummy.
Oh.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So is Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I didn't mean to stomp your news and bring my own. Yeah, Gladiator is going to be in that shit too. Or at least that was what I heard last.
I think he got cast in Aquaman recently too, which is.
He was in Superman.
Oh, yeah. He got cast in something else recently, I feel like. Russell Crowe. That I was intrigued about.
No, but that's interesting, I guess, to see him in a non-Burton film.
Yeah.
In the past 10 years
is
kind of exciting. Who's the director, do you know?
That I don't know. I don't know if they have one yet. I know the Mummy is, I think, shooting already. And I guess The Invisible Man's coming after that. I don't know if they have a director yet. Hmm. I'm super lukewarm when it comes to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a dude. He doesn't like take anything away, but he never adds anything.
I never even liked him as an action star at his peak, and I'm like an action star like or action movie like buff. He's like a big action guy. I don't really like him.
Yeah, I can't unfortunately look at that dude now and not just think fucking Scientology.
Yeah,
that's all I think.
See, that's my like. I don't like him, but for some reason I freaking like all the movies he's in. Like,
yeah.
And it's because they all have and they're solid sci-fi. Like the most recent one he did with Emily Blunt, like that was solid.
The Live, Die, Repeat.
Whatever
it was actually called.
Yeah, he did. He did another like kind of like clone sci-fi movie that was pretty solid. I mean, he's just you know, but I can't separate him from his characters.
He sucks up some pretty awesome movies, which I also hate. I would prefer to see rising, better, more likable stars in those movies. And when I see him get a good one, I'm like, damn it,
it could have been better.
Yep.
Yeah, he's bankable, I guess.
Yeah, safe name.
Yep. And he's just knocking down these action movies while he's got legs, pretty much, because he's getting up there.
Yeah.
Softening the world up to the alien agenda.
But yeah, not
one movie at a time.
Brainwashing us.
And the real mummy, people. Like, the mummy person, the dead mummy, is like a super hot girl, right?
Yeah, it's a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm fine with being a woman, that's fine, but like she's like super hot, too. It's the lead girl from Kingsman. His like his side girl or whatever, or his like you know buddy.
I think that could be a cool twist, but I don't know. Well, I don't have much faith in this whole Universal Monsters universe because it's obviously not like their idea to do it. They're just trying to cash in on the whole Marvel thing.
That Dracula movie was pretty terrible.
It was so
sounds
bad.
Like that wasn't part of the original.
They initially said it was, and then nobody liked it, and then they said it wasn't. The Mummy is going to be the official first movie.
But the guy who's putting it all together, who is one of the guys that was part of the Transformers team from like you know the 2000s that you know had a bunch of hits, he was not a part of that movie. It was kind of like, I think, the idea to include it as their Dracula because it exists and they did it, you know? But it never was a part of his, like, paradigm. Yeah. Apparently, he's probably got some big plan if they're Marveling the shit out of this like Marvel did.
Yeah.
And they're filling in the gaps. That's the only way I can think they're coming up with such big talent, too, is they've got, you know, deep pockets to do this Marvel, you know, horror universe.
Mm-hmm.
But they're bringing in good stories probably from this guy who's got this big brainchild you know Marvel plan for the monsters. I just hope it's good.
I would love to have great old school monster like Frankenstein would be like at the top.
It's gonna be modern though. That's the part that really tugs the hope out
it's
of
just
me.
Gonna be CG CG'd up so
I mean,
that's
modern,
usually not good.
I guess modern Frankenstein could be done right, but there's something about that old flip the switch
castle
like 19,
it's gonna
like
be in
popping electric shit tubes everywhere, you know, there's something kind of classic about
it's
it.
Gonna
you
be in a white lab with LED lights and shit.
they'll float up out of a bucket of something, you know.
I know like Iron Man holograms and shit.
This is like a period piece, but I don't see them doing a better job than Penny Dreadful's already doing.
Agree.
Yeah, at least we got that.
Yeah.
That show's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, at least you know, we got that. It is a period piece. It takes place in London. It's got all the Universal monsters in there, and they're all in the same universe and existing.
Yep.
And it's really well done. The production value, especially for a TV show, is incredible.
The writing.
It's
a show about, you know, like, old literature monsters, but the writing is stupendous for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good shit.
Speaking of like tying those two together, I wonder if they're going to do the Invisible Man. That's one that's kind of still on the table.
That's true. That would be awesome.
Well, no, didn't you just say Johnny Depp got cast?
Oh, we're talking about Penny Dreadful.
Penny. Oh, I gotcha.
Because that character hasn't been introduced in the show yet.
But it's kind of the same concept. He's linking Penny Dreadful being like the monsters matchup.
Yeah.
But I'm not thinking about it. I think of Hollow Man, where they kind of did the invisible guy and science the shit out of it. Like it's like an injection and he like or something. Yeah, I imagine that. Like it'll be the same bullshit.
Yeah. I kind of see Johnny Depp just like phoning this shit in. You know he's going to get a huge paycheck.
Amber Heard's taking all this money.
I like Johnny Depp, but that dude's not doing hot as of late.
He's coasting. It sounds like he's definitely coasting.
It's like what Pirates of the Caribbean would have been if he didn't like freaking nail that character. Yeah. Like
that's when he was hungry. Yeah.
If he was off a degree or two.
Yeah. Mm. Like number 4 or 5, I assume.
Have they made a 5th?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Or it's They're either been it. Made or yeah. it's... Yeah.
He's going for Poseidon's trident.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the movie right there.
Johnny Depp just it's cashing like those paychecks, 10 words. Man. I mean,
it's like National Treasure, but like pirates now.
They're bringing back Legolas. Trident. Last they left had a shit raw deal as the captain of an underwater pirate ship.
That's right. Yeah.
Forever. For eternity.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I forgot about that. Jesus.
Was he like the new Davy Jones?
And he set his dad free or something like that.
Yeah.
He took his dad's place or whatever.
And left his girl. He's too noble. Left Keira Knightley.
Bad play.
Oh, sorry, Dad. You made your choice.
Daddy, you got this.
Sleep in your bed.
I'm gonna go hang out with Keira Knightley.
Well, that's all I had for the news tonight.
That's good news.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Next week, we're gonna be tackling The Conjuring 2. We'll get into our screening experience and whatnot. If you care to, please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Straight Chilling. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Straight Chilling on all of those. Twitter, we're str8_chilling. So get on all of that. Until next time, everybody, keep chilling.